brief and just introduce all of you to our main speaker, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Prachaline Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vaskatyade Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Whenever I as a relatively young disciple of Srila Prabhupada remember him, the first vision in my own mind is that here is a soul absolutely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Throughout my life, whenever there are difficult situations and when it is not so easy to find my way, I'm looking or I'm praying a prayer which Srila Prabhupada wrote when he arrived in America. In this prayer, which has been appraised by the Vaishnav community all over the world as the prayer of a fully surrendered soul, Srila Prabhupada expresses his helplessness. He says, "My Lord, I do not know why you have brought me here to America, but you must certainly have your purpose." Then he addresses what he observes the Americans are. He says, the populace here is totally overwhelmed by the lower modes of tamas and rajas. How will they like your katha, the talk about you? Then he expresses his great faith. But if they are willing to hear the sound vibration about your glories, will purify them. Then a little later, he expresses that he wishes to become someone who brings this powerful message, this message of purification into the hearts of his audience. He says, "My Lord, please, make me dance as you like." And he signs his prayer at the end, signs the most insignificant beggar, as he, Bhaktivedanta Swami. So this is when I should speak something about my spiritual master, this is a prayer or a vision which comes to mind. He is a great personality, very dear Mukunda Preshta to Lord Krishna, who has surrendered himself to be his instrument and who is now being moved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is something which comes very much to my mind when I hear of my own spiritual master. He has the higher connection. He is not an individual who acts on his own, but he is moved and he is made to speak by the Supreme Lord. Another thing which you might find a little humorous, and I'm not sure if I can express this before my older brother in good words, is a very personal approach to Srila Prabhupada. I like one particular pastime about Srila Prabhupada very much. A pastime which speaks to my own conditioned nature and my lack of surrender to him. As a disciple at the time of initiation is becoming surrendered to his spiritual master, and there will be challenges to this surrender when his ego wakes up and wants to go also against his spiritual master. It is not always easy for each disciple to control this material tendency which keeps him in the material world. And I'm a very good example of a person who is thinking still of surrendering more and more to Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada made a morning walk in New York in the Central Park. This year I had the opportunity to visit the Central Park and see where this pastime takes place because I like it very much. So as he was going on the morning walk with his cane and warm cloth, he would spot the little frozen puddles of water which were there. He would go out of his way, take his cane and break the ice in these frozen, ice-covered little, I hope it's a good English word, puddles of water. He would do this a few times. His disciples were noticing it, and obviously they didn't want to ask him about it because it seemed to be so indecent. Why are you breaking the ice? But they, one asked in Chicago, where Srila Prabhupada had been, if Prabhupada on a morning walk displayed some extraordinary behavior. And first, the devotee of Chicago didn't know what to do with the question, but then he answered, yes, I don't know if it's extraordinary, maybe there was a deeper meaning behind it, but Srila Prabhupada went out of his way to break the ice on the puddles of water. Acha, said the New York devotee. He also did it here. So he decided to ask Prabhupada for the reason. Very politely and very humbly, he said, Srila Prabhupada, you have broken the ice on the puddles of water. Some reason is behind this? Prabhupada very firmly answered, it is my duty. So this, of course, now was a question. Why is it the duty of a spiritual master to break puddles of ice in New York and Chicago? What is... it was a question in the minds of the devotees. Then Srila Prabhupada explained, it is the duty of the spiritual master to help his disciple to overcome his ego. And he gave a very nice explanation. He said, originally the heart is full of love for Krishna. But when we enter the material world, this pristine liquid of love of Krishna becomes adulterated by the foreign atmosphere and becomes changed. Just like when we enter this world, our love of Krishna becomes lust to enjoy the material world. And this lust is directly under the control of the self-centered ego who wants to enjoy and not give enjoyment. There are different forms of this lust. Not every lust is physically oriented, and name, fame, and glory is a little bit more subtle, for instance. So the spiritual master can, his duty is to help the disciple overcome this frozen state of the heart. He breaks the ice of the ego. And not all disciples want it. They protect the heart against the stick of the guru. They do not like the guru to inflict discipline. They want sometimes to inflict discipline on the guru. Do it like this, do it like that, say like this. So Srila Prabhupada fortunately is an icebreaker. Fortunately for us, poor disciple, very unsurrendered. When you read Srila Prabhupada's books, when you see his example, when you try to follow his life's teaching, you will quickly notice that in his guiding you, he brings you to the point where your ego is confronted. For each spiritual master wishes that the ice becomes the original liquid again, that the ego or the enjoyment spirit is turned into giving enjoyment to Lord Krishna. In summary, Srila Prabhupada is, in my own humble eyes, the very surrendered soul to Srila, to Sri Krishna, who is connected with his divine mission to elevate the conditioned souls in this world. And Srila Prabhupada is an icebreaker. Leads us to surrender to Lord Krishna by his example, which he is so good in. I wanted to read it, but you can all find it, the arrival prayers, and by his teachings and guidance. So with this, we wish to turn to our exalted guest, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who really, if you read the dialogues which are available, it's printed in German language, Leben kommt von Leben, life comes from life. You know how very dear he is to Srila Prabhupada, and how it is the same personality who walked with Srila Prabhupada on the beach and asked him these very, very important questions. And he is now next to us, he is now before us, and we will now hear with our utmost concentration. Our heart will be filled with surrendering listening, and I wish that we all hear now very patiently. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. You must enlighten us.
No. Just let me sit down.
Yeah. I'm very intelligent. You wish me. Okay.
Okay. Hare Krishna. It is elegant.
Omegana Timiranda Shaganan Janashalakayam Shakshurun Militam Yenitasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Desha Tarine. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyam. vancha kalpataru vyasya kripa sindhu vaye vacha patitana pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Guru Maharaj Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki. Jai Sri Sri Gauri Nitai ki. Jai. Jai His Holiness Ajinandan Maharaj ki. Jai Bhakta Gaura Bhakta Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Jai Gaura Prabhavarande. Hare Krishna. Such a very good fortune for me to be here in this beautiful country called Switzerland, and also this Zurich, the beautiful temple here, and also among all the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis and Maharaj. To speak about Prabhupada, maybe I should begin with the with this statement that Prabhupada was sent by Lord Krishna to this world so that he can enlighten all the sincere souls in this planet. So we should regard it as very fortunate, as a part of his mission. So Srimad Bhagavatam says that nasta prayasu avadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utam sloke bhaktir bhavati nastike. So this is very important. Nasta prayasu avadresu. Avadra means all the inauspicious things in this material life, material world. We see that every minute, every second is a... turn your eyes in all the directions to find there's so many unfortunate things happening throughout the world. I mean, especially in our modern time, the terrorist activities and uncertainties and the people in great anxiety and so many problems that we are facing every moment. So avadra, so this the symptom of this material world is avadra, means full of inauspicious symptoms. But Bhagavad says, all these inauspicious symptoms, nasta prayasu avadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya, all these inauspicious, all these unwanted symptoms in this material world will be completely destroyed. Nasta prayasu, nasta means it will be destroyed. But the process is nityam bhagavata sevaya. So nitya means by constantly, eternally serving. Now in this case, I should say the spiritual master, Bhagavat. Got two Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavata, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the person Bhagavata. The person Bhagavata we are speaking this evening is we're speaking about Srila Prabhupada. So by serving the spiritual master, so all these inauspicious symptoms, all these unfortunate things in this material world will be completely destroyed. So, and when you read about Prabhupada, let's say how he met his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, and later on how he planned to execute the order that he received from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, and that is a very, very, I think, enlivening. So in this connection, when I was in Bombay, You know, the Sumati, Mataji Sumati Maharaji is next door to our temple in Juhu. So, fortunately, so we, since I used to go to our house, and that was a, that must be in the 80s. Around that time, that day, because she lives next door, and especially when I arranged this conference in 1986, for the, there was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 500th anniversary, a festivity, that I arranged this congress called the First World Congress for the Synthesis of Science and the Religion that was held in Bombay. Before that, we used to go to take advice from Mataji and also the... So, since it is next door, and she also invited us for prasadam, and she... She prepares wonderful this Gujarati the preparations, items, and she has a beautiful temple and house, and she has so many, let's say, Prabhupada's pastimes. So she explains to us. Actually, I used to go myself with one of my assistants, generally, to our house. And then she narrates about, so Prabhupada was sitting here doing the kirtan and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam for so many days, and she was speaking like this, like that. And so I got, we got to say, so we feel very fortunate, we got to hear directly from her about what Prabhupada was doing before he was preparing to go to the United States. Then she also asked us, you also do the chant here, because, you know, this is why your Guru Maharaj was sitting there chanting and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam and explaining to the to me and to other people, this is Mataji Maharaji was speaking like that. And she told so much about how Prabhupada was so determined in his plan to make that journey to the United States. Although she discouraged him that, Swamiji, you are too old, don't go now. What do you do in America? Because you say you're going to go there and don't eat meat, and don't drink alcohol, and don't smoke, and who will follow? Nobody will follow. So you are too old. Nobody will listen to you. Don't go. she was saying like that. But when Prabhupada came again and again, and requested her for the, say, for the passes in to get a seat in that cargo ship. So ultimately, when she knew that Prabhupada was so determined to actually execute the order of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, at least I think I should say that at least to me, this is the most impressive that the cultural, it has a deep cultural meaning as well as a that the spiritual, that the determination and the commitment that Prabhupada had is incomparable. Hearing all this, not only in the reading, but also hearing from the person that Prabhupada was directly dealing with. As I was very impressed with this principle. And then you read in the Bhagavad Gita commentary in the second chapter, and in different parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's writing, then Prabhupada says that the life and the soul of the disciple is to actually follow the order of the spiritual master, 100%. So this was Prabhupada's total commitment, and that this is a very impressive. So as a part of that, that in order to execute that, the order of the spiritual master, then the commitment and the prayer, just like Maharaj was mentioning about it from the diary from Prabhupada, that his commitment and his prayer in order to execute the order of the spiritual master is the essence of Bhagavad culture. So we belong to this parampara, that Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya, that the culture of this Sampradaya is that bhakti culture is this Bhagavad Seva. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So eternally, Nityam is not just for 1 year, 10 years lifetime, but this is eternally. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And Prabhupada represents that. But this is just by just thinking about that and having little internal understanding about how Prabhupada dedicated his life. And up to the last minute, I should say that fortunately, even up to the last minute, in his pastime here in this world. And since I started by the blessings of Krishna, and the Vaishnavas started singing Prabhupada, and at least that was in 1970, and in 1977, when he departed in November 14, 1977, and I saw that Prabhupada's great commitment and to execute the orders of the spiritual master. So it is cannot be expressed by words. So that always strikes me in my mind that whenever something comes bothering in my mind, always comes this to my mind. How did Prabhupada was able to dedicate so strongly in order to execute the order of his spiritual master? So with that, just by that day, by remembering that the inspiration comes. And so this is I just wanted to share with you my feeling about Prabhupada and his service to his spiritual master's order. So far as my personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada is concerned, and also my remembering about him, is that I was not staying like a regular devotee, because I was a student, I was working outside. My connection with ISKCON is mostly when Prabhupada came from traveling around the world, came to Los Angeles. I go there when Prabhupada comes, but otherwise I never stayed in the temple. I was never a regular devotee like others, I was under any temple president. I was directly with only with Prabhupada. So whenever Prabhupada comes from traveling around the world, I think especially in Los Angeles, then I go there, and then this dialogue, so that that created some kind of I don't know what should I say, that it is the some kind of I'm very free. I was very free to express to Srila Prabhupada. I didn't have any, if something comes in my mind, I didn't have any hesitation to just express it without without any reservation. Somehow I had that. I think this must be because I was not a regular devotee. I was like a guest. So this made me put me in a little difference. And Prabhupada, in a regular dialogue and discussion, sometimes he was very humorous, and sometimes he was very serious, and sometimes he chastised me. And so these are some of the things that many of the things that Prabhupada stated in our dialogue. Now, if I recall it, it will be it will be very difficult to express. But one thing that when I was in Vrindavan, that was when I was one of his assistants in his last days in Vrindavan. So the one night, that was just about a few days before his departure. So because my service was, my duty was to attend Srila Prabhupada from 9 o'clock in the night up to about 3 o'clock in the morning. So we had five persons. We were 24 hours, so my slot was from 9 p.m. up to 3 o'clock in the morning. So this was to to attend Srila Prabhupada. At that time, what Prabhupada is lying on bed, and then you know, he wants to turn his side the bed. You have to help him. And sometimes Prabhupada says, cover me with this cloth. And so like that, so you have to help him. And my slot is 9 to 12, but Prabhupada usually is awake at around midnight. At midnight, then he speaks. But he spoke at a time, mostly in Bengali. Because my Bengali, at least I know a little, some Bengali, but I was not 100% knowing, but I should say around 80 to 90%, I can understand. But mostly at the time, Prabhupada was speaking in Bengali language. And he remembered that he was remembering, recalling our morning walks, and morning walk conversations. And Prabhupada, he was saying that, so I took you to all these morning walks just to, because I wanted to train you in Krishna consciousness. And so then Prabhupada said, are you convinced? Are you convinced that Krishna, Lord Krishna, is the Supreme Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead? Are you convinced? This was just before, a few days before his departure. So I wasn't sure how to answer, and but then I was remaining a little silent, and then the Sunday Arati is already coming, and so Prabhupada wanted to go in his room. It's after sitting in the garden. So that was actually a Sunday. It was also the marriage day, and the poor God brothers got married that day. And what happened was just before entering into the room, one devotee brought this huge plate of Prabhupada's oval shaped that plate, and all these preparations, these are beautiful preparations, and huge prasadam for Prabhupada. So the devotee was offering in front of Prabhupada. And so what Prabhupada did, he took the whole plate and gave it to Benford. This is for you. this prasadam is for you. And he was amazed because he didn't know what was happening there. He didn't expect it. See, the beauty there is that Prabhupada, the guest, okay, he was guest, he was just a regular scientist, and it's coming for the first time. And but just to, you know, just to please him, and to also show the culture, the cultural part. So he was completely, this Professor Benford was, he was looking this way, that way. So what happened was that that day, the preparation, one of the preparation is this eggplant, you know, this brinjal that they call eggplant. So that preparation was there. And Professor Benford had a special liking for that. So he took a lot of this plan in the preparations, and then Prabhupada went, and also then he wanted to experience the kirtan, in the, because the arati is going on inside the temple. So Benpa said, "So let me see what's going on there." And he joined. I explained to him this arati is like this, and then he also saw the dancing of the devotees in Los Angeles was very lively because Prabhupada is there and is full of the world. after having the darshan of the arati, then it was already around almost 7:38 around that, and he said he was thinking of heading to, because he was from Laguna Beach actually. He still lives in Laguna Beach, and. So he said, I want to see the Swamiji again, because I want to say goodbye. And so Prabhupada is upstairs, and so let's go and can meet him. Okay. So in the process of doing that, and you see Los Angeles, now the temple in Los Angeles is like this. When you enter the Prabhupada's room, that there is a hallway. In that hallway, there are these are radiators for, for heating. And on that, there are quite a few of these paper plates with the prasadam. And so, Benford found another plate with the eggplant. So he again at that that plate, he completely finished that that plate also. So after that, there is also a washroom there, and then we went upstairs. Then he, at this time, he was extremely respectful to Prabhupada, and saying that Swamiji, you have done miracle, all these American young boys and girls, so they you have given this wonderful knowledge, and they say you are guiding them in this way. So yeah, still, I'm extremely grateful that you have come here to this country, and this is spiritual, this is this knowledge you are giving today of these young boys and girls. They're extremely grateful. And so he was very much appreciating about the Prabhupada before he left the temple. So so you can see that the, you know, from this, that the Prabhupada's style of preaching, not only that, there are other scholars that I occasionally take to Prabhupada. I always show like that. In the, you know, some are a little bit. One time there was one Indian scientist I took. His name is Professor Tiwari. He's also from the university. He was a molecular biologist. But in his case was opposite. So he come from a Brahmin family from India. And so he was... so then Prabhupada asked me, asked him, do you read Bhagavad Gita? So Professor Tiwari answered that, yes, I read, but I don't read all the slokas. I read some slokas which I like, and there are some slokas which I don't like. I don't. Then Prabhupada said, you are a demon. I took Professor Tiwari, that he was, but of course, since he come from India, so he has some cultural, that so he took it as a blessing from So, but generally, in my experience at Prabhupada, so the way that he dealt with the especially with guests and friends was extremely polite, as well as very concerned about their status. And so in this way, it was very congenial type of atmosphere that he created. And personally, I feel that this is a very important part of in our preaching, field. I think this is a very important, especially in meeting with different people from different cultural backgrounds, and to keep a cool-headed approach. it's very important. So in this way, some of the elements that by remembering that Prabhupada's his activities, is extremely important to remember and try to apply it in our day-to-day Christian work. So it's already past nine. So, somebody else, you want to add something else?
Maybe the devotees have some questions to Bhakti Swarupananda Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for giving us a picture of Srila Prabhupada, which you have personally experienced. Srila Prabhupada's great insistence to preach to the scientific community and the way he did it. With great respect, to show us an example. I would like to ask the devotees if they do have any questions to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. If not, I do have a question.
That's a question.
Maharaj, when you were coming to Srila Prabhupada and had this unique and also very personal exchange with Srila Prabhupada, how did you view him? You described him in relationship to this particular strand of preaching, Krishna consciousness, that is preaching to the scientists. Now, did Srila Prabhupada sometimes make to you a comment in private how he saw the other parts of his spreading with Krishna consciousness? The other parts of spreading Krishna consciousness. I'm trying to understand. Prabhupada was pushing on a worldwide movement, and he had his Western disciples to do it. Did he express sometimes something to you in a very personal way, maybe some hope for his Western disciples to understand certain things, maybe some little frustrations with us people who did not come from a very high culture, a very sensitive culture? Did he sometimes mention to you, like in a private way, one-on-one, some some perception which he had about his developing mission, which went through his ups and downs in the West? I don't want to say Indian to Indian. This is disrespectful, but you know, this personal.
I could say that. When Prabhupada went back to India, and he came back, Prabhupada told me that what he thought was not happening, especially in India. Mm-hmm. But state India, it was very slow. It was very too slow that when Prabhupada went back to to India from the United States, and the response in India was he felt very slow, especially in Bengal. The Bengal, you know, the younger generation, Prabhupada was expecting that they will come in a very much more enthusiastic manner. Mm-hmm. But Prabhupada was kind of a little disappointed that it didn't happen in his in the earlier part of the mission. So he expressed this when Prabhupada returned to the United States. But so far as the internal some expression from Prabhupada, in general, I would say that he had a tremendous hope that the Western, Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis, taking extremely seriously. I think this was the greatest hope that Prabhupada felt that this will do the job of spreading Krishna consciousness worldwide. I think this was quite vivid when one time there was Vyasa Puja celebration of Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada in Los Angeles. So that must be either 1972 or 73. So at the time, Prabhupada, with tears in his eyes, and he was expressing that the tremendous appreciation about the especially the Western disciples, that he said, I remember this, that you all represent my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. But he asked me to go to the West and spread his Krishna consciousness. So you are all representatives of my Guru Maharaj, with tears in his eyes. And so by your tremendous sacrifice and your this wonderful this dedication, so that the movement is spreading very quickly. So therefore, you are all my Guru Maharaj's representative. And so this was stated. And let's see, what else you asked?
Well, I guess you have answered it.
So anybody has any questions? Any other questions? I was not a regular devotee. Prabhupada, I one time, see, in the middle of my PhD, I requested Prabhupada that Prabhupada is very difficult for me to continue going to the Mangalarati and trying to study this is not very easy for me. So I'm losing my interest in my study. So I want, can I stop this? There was already I was right in the middle, and I asked this to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, no, you must finish your PhD. Because if you don't finish PhD, then you know, when you go to preaching, nobody will listen to you. So, I was thinking like that that day, because you know, staying there at the university and doing all these studies and then trying to go on into devotional life was it was difficult. And then when Prabhupada said that, then and also see, my professor, and the professor Tapt is a very well known physical chemist. You know, Tapt, he comes from a very noble family, because you know, Anubis in the family in the past was the president of the United States, and Tapt is a very famous scientist. His name is in the textbooks called Tapt's equation in chemistry. If you study, you know, like some higher parts of chemistry, then his name is there as his equation. You have to study the structure, reactivity, relationship. And so he, since he's a very prominent scientist, he doesn't come to the department all the time. He visits like you know, once a week or once in 2 weeks, or sometimes he never comes. And I was only his graduate student. So I had full freedom, and so I could go, and I also be absent for many days because he doesn't come. The guy's a student, so that had brought many advantages or disadvantages. Advantages was that I was able to be with Prabhupada all the time at the time, and the disadvantage was that I didn't have anything to prepare for my thesis, because I was a zero, because. So I knew that if I continue like this, I will never get a degree. And then when Prabhupada said I must get it, so then one summer I worked real hard. That one summer, that day and night I was studying. I was staying in the lab. Basically, I sleep in the lab, and I go for a little prasadam to Laguna Beach Temple. I just drive there for about half an hour. And that will prasad, and then come back, and I spend day and night in the lab for the summer, 3 months. And in 3 months, by Prabhupada's blessings, and I got all the results, and that was enough for my thesis. And so Prabhupada was very happy when I had that, and he said, you could work And then, you know, if you want to have a family, you can have a family. And then you try to help Krishna consciousness. That was the earlier plan. And later on, it changed. So, anything else?
So, in that case, I guess we will conclude the evening. For your information, tomorrow we will leave quite early. Maharaj and myself will be in Italy for the day, and then come for the evening program to Sankalan. I think that is what is planned. So there will not be a morning lecture by Maharaj this tomorrow. Only those of you who live in the surrounding areas of Sankalan, you might like to come to that Namhata meeting. And then the next big program, or the next program will be Thursday morning, and Thursday at 1:30, I believe, Harinam through Zurich. Please all come for the Harinam. It is just such a wonderful possibility for you to sing the glories of the Lord.
And bring all your instruments.
Yeah, bring your instruments. Bring your friends, just everyone. 1:30 on Thursday. That's the next big program. Mm-hmm. All right, so I thank you very much, Maharaj, for your explaining all these wonderful details. And I thank you all very much for coming to this inspiring program of Krishna Consciousness. See you all soon back again. And good night and Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.
The real preaching encounter, Prabhupada had a tremendous, cultural, nobility, and very aristocratic and very highly respectful about dealing with others. This is what I observed from Prabhupada. When I took Professor Benford, Professor Benford is the physicist from the University of California, where I was doing my PhD. So Professor Benford, Gregory Benford, he's still in, he's the astrophysicist, but at the same time he's a science fiction writer. He's very, very well known science fiction writer in the world today. So when I took him to Srila Prabhupada, the way that Prabhupada handled him, because this is in the garden. Los Angeles garden is a very popular place for bringing many of these scholars, and also many of the parents of the devotee parents used to come and visit Prabhupada and in this garden. And generally, when Prabhupada is there, I was there just always near Prabhupada to join the dialogue. So when I took Benford, Professor Benford, the way Prabhupada started was that you are a very well-known scientist, and you spend your time and energy in studying. Prabhupada picked a little grass, and it's just this grass that you want to scientifically, analyze this grass and what are the molecules, why the color is like this. And so you can study all these things. You can write the volumes and the volumes and the volumes of books on grass, on this piece of grass. And Prabhupada, you think that that is a scientific knowledge. And what good is that science? What good is that knowledge? He was asking Professor Benford. And he said, well, the scientific knowledge is a different category of knowledge. It is very useful because human mind is very inquisitive. And so to know why the grass is green, and why the fragrance, it is, why is like that, and what are the components, it's very wonderful thing. And so it's very useful. Then Prabhupada changed the that day. But you say the scientific civilization is that from the pullock cart, now we go to motor car. So you say this is a scientific civilization. Then Prabhupada is asking, but are you making any advancement in your in your life's journey? So in this way, he was trying to fill this fellow has in his mind, just to get a little idea what this fellow is aiming at. Then Prabhupada turned and, do you believe in God? The next question was, do you believe in God? Then he said, no. After thinking a little bit, not exactly. So I am skeptic. Then Prabhupada took that that point. It's a very significant turning point. He's skeptic. But Prabhupada is very cool and very very calm and very very like compassionate. And the way that he looked, the scientist, he was listening and very carefully. Then he said, yes, you say you're a skeptic. That means sometimes you think that there is God, and sometimes you think that there is no God. Then he said, yes. And that means you're doubtful. You're doubtful because your intelligence is not able to discriminate what is right and what is wrong at this stage. But you have some doubt. So the Prabhupada said, this is a good sign. We have to be doubtful. then conversation went on that in a very still in the science of self-realization, that conversation is there with Professor Benford. So Professor Benford, so he has a tremendous respect for him. In fact, I just got a letter from him just a few days ago before I came here. Because he just wrote me saying that his mother, his wife passed away, and then because I still have contact. And also, he came for Prabhupada's centennial conference in Calcutta. He spoke about Prabhupada, and he still remembers. And he has and he also written something about Prabhupada in the science fiction. In his science fiction, the saffron robed, is on this very high sounding words. It is there in the publication. But what I wanted to convey the principle is that in dealing with especially people in the field of preaching, I think this the style of showing respect, great respect, whether the other person is atheistic or theistic. So I think this is very important, that especially in dealing with guests. When the guests visit the temple, and in all preaching frontiers, fronts, personally I feel that this is the process how to deal with guests and how to present Krishna consciousness among the among all classes of people with a respect, with a feeling, and then trying to see what the person has in his mind.